Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We're starting the last chapter of the book of 2 Peter. There'll be several more messages, but as you will notice from our reading this morning, they are messages that will be vitally connected with the truth of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at the second coming of Jesus Christ from the perspective of the writings of the Apostle Peter. We've looked at the second coming according to the perspective and teaching of Paul. And now I want us to look at this great truth, this thrilling truth, according to the Apostle Peter. And I believe all of us are going to be thrilled to understand and know that these men were in 100% agreement concerning the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two verses this morning will claim our attention, verses 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And he's speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ. In the beginning of this chapter, Peter restates his purpose in writing to these Christians. He tells them that the second letter is written for the very same reason that he wrote the first letter. And that is that he might do two things. Stir up their minds and put them in remembrance to remember what Jesus said and remember what they, the apostles of Jesus, had said. And this word, stir up, is a word that means to wake up fully, to arouse, to do more than simply excite, but to incite. We have a law in our state and in our nation that forbids inciting people to riot, because when people are incited, it's much deeper than simply being excited. It's inside them. They are incited and stirred up so that they break laws and riot and disturb and destroy. Peter said, I'm writing these words just as I did when I wrote you the first letter, so that I could incite and wake you up and to arouse you to the truths that the holy prophets of old have written, and also to the truths that we, the apostles of Jesus, have also spoken. And the word pure is a word I want us to examine very closely this morning, because it gives to us a truth that I think is not only beautiful to behold, but it's something that we can learn and then strive to attain. The word pure is used here, maybe one other place in the New Testament, this word that's translated pure. And it has in it the idea of taking something out into the sunlight and looking at it very closely under the rays of a noonday sun. And therefore it's translated pure, or to be found genuine, something that is unmixed and untainted. Peter said these people possessed a sunshine mind. And as I thought of that, and as I considered it, and as I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I'd like to have a sunshine mind. That is, a mind that when the truth is preached, when the truth is read, you're not going to find any dark recesses that reject that truth.
and hide that truth and neglect that truth. Lord, I want to have a pure mind. I want to have a sunshine mind. These people were exhorted to remember, to call to mind, to have something strongly suggested to them. And this is what Peter is literally saying. I'm writing you a second letter, and you're very beloved of me. And I write you this second letter for the very same reason that I wrote you the other letters, and that is to stir up your sunshine mind, to excite and incite you as a Christian by stirring up your pure or your sunshine mind. As Peter did this, that is, as he stirred up their minds, aroused them, he felt it would complement the work of God, that it would strengthen them as Christians and strengthen them to do the work of God. And as we examine the memories of these people, we'll find that their memories were memories that are, I think, comparable to the memories that you possess and the memories that I possess. Because we've been born again. And all of us, because we've been born again, we possess some very common memories. We may be different in a lot of respects, and I think this is one of the things that I've realized more the last 2 or 3 years than perhaps I've ever realized in my life, and that is we all have different ideas about certain things. We're different people. We indeed do have different personalities, but as children of God, we can stand together on the great truths of the Word of God because all of us have similar experiences. These people had been told the truth. Perhaps John the Baptist had preached to them. Perhaps Jesus had preached to them. Perhaps Peter had preached to him. Perhaps John had preached to them. But that's really not the important thing, who had preached to them. The important thing is that they had listened to the truth of the Word of God as it had been preached. And because they listened, and because they not only heard but obeyed from the sense of giving themselves to the truth that they heard preached, they had been saved. And the knowledge and memory of their being convicted of their sins, the knowledge and memory of their being born again, and the knowledge and memory of having their sins forgiven, the knowledge and memory of having been baptized as Jesus and others had been baptized, and they remembered being scattered. You know, in the first chapter of the book of 1 Peter, he writes to those who are scattered strangers. Literally, people who are sown hither and thither in the world. And I'm sure these people had memories down deep inside their souls of having been torn away from loved ones and having been separated from familiar languages and culture and pushed to unfamiliar and strange places. And they had been persecuted. Stephen, that faithful martyr of God, had already shed his blood. And the fear, the anxiety and turmoil that these people experienced because they were outside the Judaic faith, they were outside the pagan religion, because of this they were strangers in every respect of the word, and they were the speckled birds of the world, intellectually and spiritually. And so the world turned on them, and and took the lives of many of them. You'll notice that the first thing the world did was criticize them verbally. Then it took them and warned them sincerely. And then they took them and beat them very severely. And then the Bible tells us they finally shed their blood. And these people have experienced these things. They've seen their loved ones die for the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe they'd gotten somewhere into this strange world of which they were really not citizens, but just sojourners and strangers, and had a tendency to forget, turn inward and begin to quarrel among themselves. In fact, I think this was happening. Maybe to think too much and to consider too strongly their own interests and the things that had to do only with their own particular style of life. Peter said, I want to stir up your minds. Your minds have been exposed to the sunshine. And I want you to relive some of the memories of the truth that the holy prophets have preached, and to relive some of the memories that you have had experientially, to live some of the truths that we taught you, we who are the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the first part of verse 2, Peter said, I want you to be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Peter didn't say we're living in a New Testament age. Therefore, the Old Testament is no longer any benefit to us because a rather unique situation is happening. As these people receive this second letter from the Apostle Peter, God is providentially preserving it and getting it into the New Testament itself. Peter didn't refer to the New Testament because it didn't exist. But he does refer to what the apostles had preached. And I think Peter has some knowledge that what he's even writing now may be used to teach the truth of God to succeeding generations of people. I think he is aware that God is inspiring and guiding and overseeing him. I want you to be mindful. And this word is a very strong word. It means to actually court someone with the idea of winning them for a wife. I want you to sue for these truths, to have the same idea, and I think this is what Peter's saying. I want you to desire the truths of the Old Testament prophets with the same kind of intensity that you would your wife and won her. I want you to desire the truths of the Old Testament prophets. I want you to remember them. They were to court the words of the holy prophet. Peter had referred to these writings earlier. In the book of 1 Peter, he speaks of the inspiration of the Word of God. And in the first chapter, rather, of the book of 2 Peter, he writes concerning these men of old. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now notice, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is one of my favorite sayings. And it's a favorite saying because it has helped me so very much, and I think helped other people very much also. You'll never know much about God until you know much about the Bible. Now, you may experientially have some knowledge of God. I don't deny that. But if all you depend upon for your knowledge of God is secondhand information and your emotional feelings, your feelings that you have when you walk into a church and you hear a song sung and you sort of really perk up and you say, I really like this, but it probably won't last that long. The way you're going to be a solid, stable, growing, effective child of God is to have a sunshine mind in regard not only to the New Testament but also to the Old Testament. You're going to need to know, you will have to know the Word of God. And sometimes people say, I can't learn the Bible. And the Old Testament, it doesn't mean anything to me. And I just don't understand it. So I'm just going to quit. Let me plead with you this morning. Now, I've picked up some books when I was going to school. Books that were assigned for a particular class. Go to the bookstore and buy that book, and it was big, thick. And I'd sit down somewhere and I'd open it and look at it, and I'd shudder, literally. Do you mean to tell me I've got to read every word in this book? And I'd be looking at the middle of a biology book or something, and all the long words and the concepts I'd never heard of before, and I'd sit there and look at it and say, there's no way in the world I can ever do this. You know, that wasn't the way the teacher taught that course, though. They didn't start in the middle of the book. They started over where it said introduction. And they said, now go over to glossary and memorize these first 25 words or so. Learn what they mean so we can build a vocabulary so that you can know what I'm talking about. That experienced instructor then would lead us from chapter 1 to 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and all of a sudden I'd begin to feel the burden lifted from my mind and heart in the sense that I'd worried about, can I learn these things? Because I began to learn them gradually, and I began to learn them as they should be learned, and I began to see what the teacher was trying to do, and I could make my grades in that class. People pick up the Bible and they just turn over somewhere in the book of Daniel or something and just say, at the time of the end shall be the kingdom of the south and push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. I said, I can't learn that stuff. I don't know what they're talking about. I don't get that at all. Of course you don't. Of course you don't. But you can learn the Bible. You can know what the Bible teaches. And your growth as a Christian and your effectiveness as a Christian is going to be directly connected. They are the pivot and they are the socket. And they must be put together in order for you to understand what God is trying to tell the people of this earth. Don't be intimidated by the black covers of this book and the words Holy Bible and by your incompetence. When I surrendered to preach, it was in December. My birthday was in January, and so I decided I would come to the Missionary Baptist Seminary. Brother Goodwin wrote to me when he learned that I'd surrendered to preach, and he and Sister Goodwin invited me to come to their home and stay with them and see how the Bible was taught in the Missionary Baptist Seminary. And the birthday cake that some friends of mine in the church made had the words Matthew 28:18-20 written on the birthday cake. And I looked at that scripture reference and I had no idea what it meant. I didn't know what it meant. They thought I knew. And I didn't tell him any better, but I got my Bible when I got home, looked it up, and I said, oh, I've heard the preacher say something about that. I'm not any different than you are intellectually. I doubt I'm as far up on the IQ scale as most of you are. And if I can learn the Bible well enough to preach and to teach, so can you. And the best investment spiritually that you can make is studying and learning the Word of God. I don't mean that's all you have to do. Some singing sort of relieves the monotony perhaps that develops over long times of study and gives us some inspiration. I love that, and we ought to do it. I love our choir. I love our instruments. I love our people who sing. They mean a lot to me, but that just getting stirred a little bit and then going out, it won't take long for that to just vanish in the world. It won't stabilize you. It's not the meat you need for the times we live in today. So I beg you, as Peter begged these people here, do your best to be in Sunday school and do your best to come on Wednesday night and study the Word of God. And that let that just be sort of an outline. And the rest of the time, spend some time in serious study of the Word of God. Bible ignorance is probably the biggest reason, or the main reason, that there's so much spiritual turmoil today. It's Bible ignorance or rebellion against the truth that people know. Have a sunshine mind. You may wonder how much these people could possibly learn from the Old Testament about Jesus. Well, I think Peter had in mind such psalms as Psalm 2. And this is just an example of what I think he understood them to already know, and he wanted them to think about it. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And he begins to talk about the messianic kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now, this is a psalm that these people that Peter writes to, they knew. And Peter said, think about the way David wrote concerning the kingdom of God and the things of God. Stir up your minds to receive the Old Testament prophets and the truths that they wrote about the coming king. Now, that wasn't enough. That's half. Think about the things that we've said too. Notice what Peter writes. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Think about what I taught you, Peter writes. And I rather suspect that people at this point in the history of the church had about the same concept of what preaching is as perhaps some of our people do today. Most people have a wrong concept of preaching. Idealistic. And the way God wants it, whether we preachers are able to do it or not. Ideally, and this is the way God wants it. The way God wants it is that by His direction and urging, His preachers preach the truth of His word. But you say, I always thought that's what the preacher did. No, many times we pick and choose. We pick and choose what won't offend someone we know may be involved in some circumstance that is not right, and yet we don't want to offend them because we don't want them to leave the church. There are sometimes we pick and choose because we've had problems with people and we want to get back at them, which is a very sorry thing for any preacher to do from the pulpit that God and His people have provided for him. And oftentimes these emotions, we will go by this person or we will strike at this person. All of these things are not in the spirit of preaching the Word of God. They're out of place, they're out of character with the Lord Jesus Himself. And don't misunderstand me, there were times when the Lord Jesus picked out a person and a sin and said, that's not right. And Peter and Paul and others did also. But there's always the right way to do God's work. We ought to be so filled with the truths of God's word. We ought to be so conscious of the needs of our people that we're able to preach the word so that the greater good is accomplished. And I've heard people talk, and I've had talk come back to me, well, I like to hear Brother Penn teach, but I don't like to hear him preach. As though there was some kind of discernible difference. There isn't. If a preacher doesn't teach you something, he hadn't preached. And if he is not filled with the excitement of God's word so that he does more than simply stand and drone on and on, he's not apt to teach very much either. I believe there is such a thing as preaching, but I also believe you cannot preach if you don't teach. We must teach as well as exhort people to do the will of God. And Peter said, think about what others have taught you. And he refers specifically to Paul the Apostle. In verse 15, he writes, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now notice, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. He said, Paul writes some things that are difficult to understand. But Peter loves his brother in the ministry, Paul, and says, I want you to listen, and I want you to remember what he has written. Remember what Paul has written to Titus. Remember what Paul has written to Timothy. Remember what Paul has written to the Thessalonians. Remember these. Possess a sunshine mind. Think about your personal experiences. I think God wants us to. Think about conviction. Think about the condemnation you felt. Think about your salvation. Think about when you first believed. Think about the assurance you have in your heart and your mind that you're right with God and that your sins are forgiven. Think about all the good things that God has done for you. Think about all of the things that have worked in your life that you could not have planned. this summer, in the spring, we were, I guess you can say, exploring down along the Saline River in one of the fields, and we found either dewberries or some Himalaya berries that were growing, wild, and we began to pick them. And we picked quite a few, and it was a lot of fun the first trip. But second or third trip, we picked like 2 gallon or 3 gallon of berries and brought them home, and I put them on the sink for my wife to, make jam and things out of. And I went to wash my hands, and I had a thorn or a briar from one of those berry vines in my finger here. When I started to wash my hands, it hurt, it stung again. I pulled it out and threw it in the wastebasket, and at that particular time, I'm going to tell you what I thought, almost. I thought about that one thorn prick, and I forgot all about the 3 gallon of berries. And I think that's what these people had happened to them. They were thinking about the thorns that had stuck them. And they'd forgotten all about the berries that God had given them. If we're not careful, we'll fall into that very same trap of Satan. And we'll get bitter and angry and frustrated. And we'll be showing people all the briars we've had rather than showing them all the berries we've got. Think about what the Bible teaches. Let the Word of God settle the issue once and for all. Be a hearer of the Word and be a doer of the Word. Let the sun shine in.